supposed to be able to bear their pain if you don't have to run the meat with them. Some of them were still kind of lingering around. I know a couple of them were going to try, depending on the time, to catch it. Hopefully you show up, because it really be good. One of them has a gig in Connecticut tonight. Doesn't turn out like Mad Evils.
People hopefully will come in. I know it's a bad slot. In my case, although I did have some music lessons and I know a little piano, my connection is being a DJ at a non-commercial college station on the North Shore since 1981. And I'm playing everything, including furry music, if you know what I mean. So that's my connection. And the one thing I remember from last year, and I hope, I'm not sure if you were part of this, but at one point, one of the bands that was supposed to play was late, and yeah. they were told not to because yeah. they were late.
Yeah.
And someone brought forth the saying, if you're 15 minutes early, you're on time. If you're on time, you're late. If you're 15 minutes late, you're fired.
Oh, that's
and I thought that was an interesting little thing to say, but yeah, it's not good. Easy.
Yeah.
It's not easy because you have all this tumult and everything, and you have to set up.
Yeah. So what happened was, because I was here.
Yeah.
I was backing Tanya's song. So what happened there was, we have 5 or 6 bands.
Right, something like, I thought it was 4,
but
yeah.
It was a lot of bands because soundcheck was at 10 a.m.
Right.
And everyone showed up. I was there at 9:30 because that's
yeah.
who I am. You know, I was like, you say 11 o'clock, I'll be there 10:30. You know, that's just the way I am. Especially being a drummer, you got to set things up. So this band, welcome to come in.
This is the performing talent?
Yes. Yes.
There's nobody here. What's going on?
Well, everyone's checking out.
Okay, well, I'm here.
Cool. So yeah, what happened was it's getting close to 2 o'clock, and the show is supposed to start. It's about 1 o'clock. Show's supposed to start at 2. They get a call from one of the band members saying, "We're in Connecticut, we're on our way." They had just woken up.
Oh.
They're the opening band. So they were gonna open.
Sorry, I think I left something here.
Okay. So they're the opening band, so they're supposed to be on at 2. They said they're gonna be here at 2, and got all mad because you know, if you're gonna be here at 2, that means you gotta park.
Yep.
That means you gotta unload your stuff. That means you gotta haul it in, set it up, and no, you know.
Yeah.
Because I was talking to Scales. Scales was like, I don't know what to do. I was like, no, they're off the off the bill. I hate to say, you know, I'm not the. You gotta do what you gotta do, but in every real life situation at clubs, you get booted, you're off the bill, because
yep.
everything's gonna run on time. And this person, so you're gonna be here and you think you're gonna start your set and have maybe 15, 20 minutes to play, you know, and then get,
yeah.
you know. And it's not fair to the staff, it's not fair to EV, it's not fair to all the other bands that you're putting off.
Yeah.
You know. So, and I've just, this happens like a couple of times already. Twice my band was playing Parlor in Providence. So we have this, we have two opening bands. The second band that's on is got, I mean, it's a small place. They've got thousands and thousands of dollars worth of equipment. I mean, the pedal board one of these guys had cost more than my guitar player's entire rig.
Yeah.
It's a tiny place. You don't need a full stack in a tiny. The place is like half the size of this room. These guys had a full stack. The guitar player had an AC 30, a box, a nice box. EQs were all off because you could, once the bass started playing, they're all sharing the same frequency. And it just sounded and the guy couldn't sing. He was a terrible singer. Drummer had this beautiful Gretsch, 26-inch kick drum. and he tapped it. You couldn't hear a damn thing. And so the only time you could actually hear the lead guitar was when the bassist switched basses. So it had a higher, it had a more mid-range than the previous bass, because of the different types of pickups. So one had split, one had bar. So it, you know, and they sounded terrible. It took them forever to set up, which sucks, because, and then it took, then they started breaking down on stage. You take your stuff off stage and break it down so the other bands can get on stage, because there's only a 15-minute, you know, buffer. And these guys were older than us. They knew better. They've been around. And that's, things like that, it's not fair to other people.
You know, over the years, whether it's blues or rock or whatever like that, you would have clubs doing various things with three or four bands all doing their stuff.
Yeah.
And they would have time to get there and play their stuff and everything like that. I remember in 2019 seeing at a place in Somerville, there was, the main act was this surf rock band we know called Tsunami of Sound.
Mm-hmm.
And they were the last ones. And there were some other groups there too. There was a group called Little Billy Lost. And there was the playing with Tsunami of Sound was Keytar Bear, the guy who looks like Ted from the movie Ted.
Yeah.
And he's got the keytar and everything. So that was great. But, I mean, I was there all night in terms of having something to eat, catching all the different bands and sticking around after managing to get a parking space. So that was great.
Mm-hmm.
So you had all these different groups there, and you got people drinking and eating and things like that. And it's a long night, but they managed to do that. So clubs putting three or four or five bands on the same bill, and it's happening now.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple years ago, you couldn't do that because of the pandemic. So people would play something in their living room and go, okay, go to my merch table, my website, and you can order the CD, and doing it that way. But then the club started opening up again, and that was great. So people are hopefully making up for lost time and playing. And you know all about playing in a multi-band night or something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the concert. That's what Alabaster Lent again last night. I guess I'm on Friday.
Yeah.
And that went smoothly. Like, all the bands were, like, top-notch on, and it was just, everything just went so nice. Luckily, like, my guitar started playing everything way faster. And by the time they ended our set, everything was back on time.
Yeah.
Because I'm exhausted, I'm trying to play this song and sing, and it's like, yeah, let's bring it down, come on. But everything just kept on going forward. I think he just wanted to get the hell out, because he had to be back in Rhode Island.
Yeah.
Or something.
I was thinking about on one of the Dead Kennedys albums, they had a bit where East Bay Ray's guitar string broke. So Jello was up there, Ray's guitar broke. And then he starts vamping and he starts telling a story about being some backwoods sound and everything. And finally they get going again. But it was a nice little bit of entertainment where Jello was up there telling a story and all that. And then finally they fixed the Jello Biafra.
Being someone who has actually met these guys.
Eric Boucher. I know his real name, but I don't know him in person, but yeah.
Dead Kennedys played in Providence, Rhode Island at Lupo's in 84, 85. It was like the end of 84. The Franken Christ, the one that...
The poster, the H.R. Giger poster.
The Giger poster. Which
they were questioning me, where is the man who did this? He's in Switzerland. You have the spoken word album, yeah.
Yeah, so what happened was D.H., Daryl...
Caligro, yeah.
...was late, so he's kind of MIA. And it's just like, last band before is done. It's like 5 minutes, no Dead Kennedys. 10 minutes, no Dead Kennedys. 20 minutes, no Dead Kennedys. A half hour, no Dead Kennedys. Like, what the hell's going on? Jello comes out and goes, so apparently our drummer is MIA at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
He assures us he's on his way, but we don't know how long that's going to take. So we can do one of two things. We could give you your money back and come back at a later date. And we've got Lupo's, which is already over capacity.
Oh, yeah.
It's 400. This is like 600 people. It's a 400 capacity place, and there's 600 people in this place. It's like it is jam packed, no space to move. And everyone's like, no. Oh, he's like, or we can pull drummers out of the audience. And as soon as I heard that, my singer, from my singer, Brian, from my band at the time, goes, I feel this. It's like, you're playing for the dead Kennedys. I'm like,
oh,
okay. So it was me. It was Boston band's drummer from the Proletariat.
Proletariat, I remember them, yeah.
Super nice guy. And a couple other drummers from random bands and stuff, and we all went up there. I was the only one that didn't play Dogbite. All the three versions of Dogbite. But I did Terminal Preppy, A Child in His Lawnmower, and Nazi Punks.
Yeah.
You know, with the dead Kennedys.
And when you were talking about an overcapacity place in Rhode Island, all I could think of was the station.
Oh.
How they had 400 people jammed to that place, and everyone tried to leave, and you had, of course, 100 people die. That was horrible.
How did the drummer get out?
I don't know. Well, of course, the guitarist, Ty Longley, got killed, of course.
But he went back to get his guitar.
He went get, oh, that's not a good decision.
But the stage is here, right?
Yeah.
And it's got all that foam around the stage, and it's covering the entire stage. And the drum riser is a step up, but it's in the wall. So you have a wall here and a wall here in your drums, and the only way to get out is to squeeze around the drums. How the drummer got out,
yeah.
I don't know if he just kicked his drum kit out and ran.
They were telling people, you can't go out that door. That's just for like the band and all that sort of stuff. Everyone just went out the window where they were and they went in, you know?
There were three exits.
There were three exits, yeah.
There's the exit next to the stage, and there's an exit around where the bathrooms are.
And the ironic thing is...
The exit.
And everyone went...
And the guy that owned the club there, the Darien Brothers, hey, I have an idea. Let's do a thing about, there was this recent problem in Chicago where a club caught on fire. Well, why don't we show it at our club? And then guess what happened?
Yeah.
Oh.
Whoever gave the okay
it's happened since then too at other places, like in Russia or Israel or something, where they had a wedding or something and they were shooting off fireworks and a bunch of people got killed, including maybe even the bride and groom. Mm. I think, oh my god,
yeah, it's crazy. I remember seeing that because my friend is a huge fan of Great White. He loves hair metal, so like recently he had seen Quiet Riot there and stuff like that. Maybe Kevin DeBro. He walked in to get his ticket, and walked out, and Kevin DeBro held the door for him.
There was a Taylor Swift Eras concert in Brazil a couple months ago. It was during the summer, and it was really, really hot.
Yeah.
And a person died because it was
just heated.
Too hot.
Just jam-packed.
It's
like body heat on top of temperature, you know?
Yeah.
It can get
horrible.
Crazy. Like even one of the Who farewell tours, people got trampled because it was standing room. It was standing room in an arena, and what, five people?
11.
Was it 11 people? 11 people.
Something like that.
Got trampled.
Oh my god!
Because they opened all the doors at once, and everyone just and they got trampled, and they didn't know until at the end of the concert, you know, and it devastated. Especially Roger, he was like, he had no words. He's trying to talk when it was happening. I remember this interview, and it was like, I couldn't bring himself to say anything because it was like so tragic, and they didn't know until after the show.
There was a panel here yesterday, or was it Friday, about furry music and maybe it was yesterday morning or something. They talked about different things. They talked about things like getting there for your sound check and all that and all that. So I guess that's probably some of the things you're going to mention.
Oh yeah. Also, like if you want to,
Hi.
Oh, you're Are you the singer from the guitar player from? Oh, okay.
Nope, not me.
Okay, do you play?
I play piano, and I used to play in a band a long time ago with somebody who's just for fun. Did like two shows.
So you're intermediate, pro?
Very intermediate, I'd say.
Okay.
I mostly just play for fun nowadays myself.
So a lot of times, like, if you want to, if you have an idea, you want to do something at a convention, but you've got to submit, like, once they're taking submissions for acts and things like that.
Yeah.
One thing I will say, always, if you can have an idea, you know, because I've seen people with acts that, you know, that they have an idea, they know exactly how they want to do it, they don't practice it.
Mm.
And they get up on stage, and I've seen this at rehearsals, like at Andrew, luckily we have we have Rhubarb and Cosmic in charge of the variety show at Anthrocon now, because if they feel that you're not, it's not going to go off the way you think it is, they'll tell you. They are very brutally honest, and I love them for it. They'll tell me. I've been on stage with these guys playing for like Fox and Moore and Pepper and all that stuff. So, yeah, it's weird that it wasn't until recently. It was like the past like maybe 10 years where music acts are starting to flourish in the fandom. Because when I started, there was none. There was Sublevel 3, you know, and they were the most popular, but they were kind of like a more type of band, electronic, really good. They were so good. I've seen them like a bunch of times. Became good friends with them, so I haven't heard from them. since I think the last time I saw them was at Method Fermi like years ago. But Matt Evil, Holly, who is now Avian Invasion, he does EDM now, was a piano rock, and he did concerts, you know, on his own, until he decided to get a drummer, and I was in Maine at the time, and a friend of mine, the Rabbit Valley, I think it was Andy Rabbit that emailed me. And he goes, check this out and tell him we sent you. And it was Matt's plea for to get rid of his electronic drummer. And it was hilarious. So he's talking about as he's talking about it, he's getting drunk and stuff, and he's got his laptop on like the street with bottles around it. said it's getting drunk and it's being very picky, and I like to replace my electronic drummer with a real drummer. I listened to some of the music, and I was like, I'm a huge Ben Folds fan, and I love They Might Be Giants, and his was like both at the same time. I'm like, okay, so it's piano rock and it's geek oriented. I was like, this is cool. And at the time, I'm in a metal band called My Blood Alone, who played at Furfright, the year before the last Furfright, we were there. Because at the time I was also still the ballroom director for Furfright.
Before it was renamed?
Before, yeah. It was actually, I think it was 09? Was it 09? My band By Blood Alone played. I played it in Furfright, drums in Furfright. And then that was my last year for Furfright. And then they did one more year, and then it stopped. I think it was 2011. They just stopped. And then Furpock people, who were part of Furfright staff, decided to keep it going, rename it, and become a whole different con. Which is, it's a fun con. They do a really good job.
I thought it was the same con.
No. Huh.
In 2013, I think, or whatever, was the last Furfright. Then it became Furpocalypse. And, different people doing it. And so it didn't really miss a year. It just, you know, changed name and all that. Well, I mean, it really was a different con, but it was in the same hotel, the mold place there in Cromwell and everything.
It's a complete new chair, new everything. Where was I going with that? I rambled with the point I was.
Yeah, there are people like Scurro there that have played at A&E and Furpock and AC and stuff like that, and I've seen them like all three different hotels of A&E he's played, or at least two of them. Yeah.
So, I indirectly ran into Matt before I met Matt. Because Matt was playing piano at that Furfright.
Yeah.
it was one of the random pianos up where the zoo was or whatever, and I was kind of like walking by and I heard him, but I didn't have my conga with me. And I would have gone up and helped him out, but I remember that. And I finally, I was like, you know, I'm gonna email him. I'm gonna answer his little ad. And the rest is history. He came to Maine. We practiced. He gave me 3 songs to learn. And I mean, I learned them in like 15 minutes because they were very elementary songs. And I started adding my own things to them. And then when he came in, we just basically setting up was the longest. You know, him coming in using my keyboard and getting ready took longer than us going through those 3 songs. And he was like, "Oh, okay. What do you want to do now?" I was like, "Oh, you want to learn a song?" Like, okay. So he plays this song for me. I'm like, okay. And we go through this. And as we're getting through it, because I only know the studio version. Yeah. Well, one of the songs that we did, I only know the studio version. He does it differently live. And we worked that one out, and that was super easy. He's like, "Oh, okay." So you pick up right away. Yeah, I've been doing this for decades. It's like, okay, so we learned a new song, and we went through all 4 songs, you know, and he was like, okay. And then we spent the rest of the night at a Starbucks till close, just talking about horror stories on the road. And, you know, and connecting with just purely music. And he was like, "Well, I got 3 other people that had 3 people who answered the ad, so I got to show them the courtesy," which is professional. You know, you don't just go, "Okay, we found a guy, but cancel him." No, he went and he's going to try these people out. One of them canceled on him. Another one was okay, but couldn't sing. That was a big thing. Someone who can sing backup, so I can do that. And someone who's in the furry fandom. So I was the trifecta. Mm. Not only was I professional, I can sing on key. And he was actually impressed with my vocal range, because I can go kind of low, but I can go really high.
Is there a primary instrument that you use?
I play drums.
Okay.
So I play drums. I do noodle. My first instrument was the recorder.
Yeah, mine too.
Okay, and my second was an accordion.
Oh.
Yep. And my grandfather played piano. My mother plays piano. Well, my late mom, she passed away December, played piano. So that's how I learned. I got sick of being in bands with people who were a pain in the ass. So I picked up a guitar and started banging out chords on the guitar to do that. And then that came bass. So I was, okay, bass is a little easier for me. And because I'm a drummer, you get a good time. And I started recording stuff on my own. And, you know, this was back in the 80s.
a long time ago.
Yeah. So I'm like 54 years old.
right.
So I've been my first gig, I was 8 years old.
Jesus.
Yeah, I was playing the little drummer boy on a tom in a school thing. And I did school talent shows playing drums and things like that. But my first gig with my first band was not too long after the Dead Kennedy show, where we opened up for the punk band Minutemen.
Yep.
So that was my first show. So in a span of like a month, I met the Dead Kennedys and the Minutemen with D Boone, and I actually met D Boone, and then further along he died, which sucked. But the funniest thing is Mike Watt came back to Providence with Firehose and remembered me. Like, I saw Firehose like 5-6 times. Every time they were in, I went to see Firehose. They were great. Basically, it's Minutemen without D, with the microphone. what do they call him? Mike from...
Mike from Ohio.
Ed.
Eddie from Ohio.
Ed from Ohio.
Ed from Ohio.
And every time Mike's like, hey, big perception. And he always had this Rickenbacker bass, and he never had a case for it. And then years later in the 90s, Mike Watt comes back as, you know, the Mike Watt band with Foo Fighters, the first tour for the Foo Fighters, and Hovercraft opens, and Hovercraft is Eddie Vedder's girlfriend's band. Eddie was playing drums. And again, after the show, I walk out, and Mike's there with his bass without a case. I was like, are you ever going to get a case for that thing? He's like, oh, a big deception. Like, you know, buddy, you remember the band I haven't been in for like decades, but you don't remember my name. But yeah, so yeah, you know, those are the fun road stories. I can go on forever about the punk bands I've seen and people like that, Aaron Rollins and all those people. But so if you're, I mean, getting back into like performing at a con, hatching out an act or knowing a song or wanting to perform and stuff, it's like always have everything prepared before you submit. So a lot of times I see people, they'll come in and they have an idea for a thing, and then they get up on stage and they freeze and they're like, oh, this isn't what I expected to do. It's scary.
Yeah.
You know, you're doing it in a little room, then you get up on the Anthrocon stage and you got 3,000 seats. It's like each section is like a 1,000 seats. It's just like this big thing, and you're this little... This is the stage, and this is you. You know what I mean? And it's overwhelming. It can be really overwhelming. And, you know what you're going to do. Know exactly what you're going to do. You'll know how to use the stage, because you got a lot of space there.
The variety show last night,
yeah.
I felt, was pretty good. I felt like...
No, that was excellent.
Everyone did have... their thing prepared and planned in
yes.
advance. That was amazing.
Yes, this is one of the few cons I've actually been to where as far as the variety show, everyone had their shit together.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And everything, bam, like clockwork. Like extremely professional.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same now with Anthrocon. Before, when I performed at Anthrocon, I've been there a bunch of times. So I can meet Adam's mark. You know, my first time playing in Anthrocon was my cover band, Fearless, and Dirt as Fearless. You know, it was the trio, and we did a bunch of, you know, Dave Matthews covers and Korn and stuff like that. Did Jungle, Bungle in the Jungle by Jekyll and Tull. I was trying to find animal-themed songs for us to play. And that was fun. Riley, at the time, was the AD director. Got us in, played, did a great set, had fun. You know, next year, I was part of the talent show and stuff. I did a goofy thing called Angry Walk that I did because everyone used to call me a raccoon because red pandas. Because red pandas weren't a huge like thing, and a lot of people didn't realize, well, you know, red pandas are an actual freaking animal. That, you know, it's not a, instead of a black and white, a black and red panda. It's a red panda is a very different animal. And I used to get confused as a raccoon, so I wrote Angry Walk on a keyboard and performed it live at Anthrocon, and it went over pretty well. And it got me a lot of attention, because then all of a sudden, you know, because I had Kage come on stage as I'm flipping out and put me in a straitjacket. And
hilarious.
Off. And
that's like something on the Gong Show where Chuck Barris would be with the angry with the unknown comic and drag him off stage. One of these little shtick type things.
So then for the rest of the convention, if I was out in fursuit, I was in the straitjacket.
So funny.
So I'm walking around like this in a straitjacket. Everyone's like, raccoon. I'm like,
I'm not a raccoon. Is that what Rocket
like
says?
You open up a Guardians? Can of worms. I was like, I did it on purpose. That's the whole reaction. So now everybody's going to see me a raccoon and have the angry reaction to it in a straitjacket. Mm-hmm. And some people, so there was a couple of people thought it was a fetish of mine. I was like, no, no, it's not a fetish. It was a joke. So that's how people remembered me back in like 2005. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're the angry one. So now you see my just this bitter red panda. So getting back to Matt, going about like how music is starting to. Has now become an essential part of Furry Fandom. Matt and I did our first concert together at FWA, and to a full house, like 500, like because their ballroom was a little smaller, so it was full house. And by the end of it, it was standing room only. And a lot of it is because. Two was right on right after us, before his downfall. And we went through that set, and it went over huge. After that was, I don't know if it was Amplicon after that, or if it was Further Confusion first. And then all of a sudden, now we're playing, we're getting booked at all these furry conventions and stuff. And the thing that really hit it off was when we played at Texas Furry Fiesta. And that was a major, major, major thing. Because Texas Furry Fiesta was like, okay, they're one of the first to bring in a lot more musicians. And I love them for it. Matt and I played there two or three times. Every time it was a blast. Then we got going to Furthermore. That was fun. The funny thing about Furthermore is I met an old sound guy from Providence who used to work at the Century Lounge in Providence. I was like, you look familiar, because he had his head in the kick drum. He was kind of looking and specking the drum kit. This is the one we drove to, so I brought my own kit. And I'm like, okay, you remind me of somebody. He's like, oh yeah, who's that? And I was like, sound guy from the Century Lounge in Providence. He's like, yeah, that's me. I was like, illustrious day. And he remembered, oh, now I thought I recognized this drone kit. And I was like, yeah, is it okay? He's like, yeah, it's fine. So that was, who the frick would know? You know?
Yeah.
In Virginia, and he's bringing, here he is. Yeah.
We are in the Seaport District of Boston. There used to be a big nightclub called The Channel.
Yeah.
It was something like 25 Necco Street. I know I saw the dam there and a bunch of other people. I think the street was named after the New England Candy and Confectionery Company that made Smarties and things like that. So that's what it was. Now it's like a parking garage or who knows what. But that was The Channel, and so you would go there.
Yeah,
so
I've been there many times. I saw many shows there, especially with like Gangrene and the Effies, Jerry's Kids, Misfits and Agents.
Yeah, the whole hardcore scene, you would get something like a Legion Hall in Marvel Headmasters, Massachusetts, and they'd have an all-ages show. Oh, yeah, all-ages, you know.
Oh, it was great. And, yeah. One of my favorite shows I did was Open for the Freeze.
The Freeze, yeah. Okay, the Freeze, all right? I hate tourists. Tourists suck. It's only their daughters I wanna. There isn't a tourist that I don't hate, so get the hell out of my state. I da 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 da. Hate da 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 da. Tourist da 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 da. I mean, I've been a college radio DJ since 81 at the same station. So, but this is the stuff I remember, the Freeze.
Oh, God, I love that.
Yeah.
Tourist.
Yeah. What was one of the other ones? Cancerous Growth from out of Burlington.
Cancerous
Let me
growth
see.
Psycho.
Effing stupid people, they don't give an F. They just care about themselves, and they're the ones that suck. So, effing stupid people, we effing hate you. I'm saying this in case there's kids in the audience. But you know what I mean. It's like, this is the sort of stuff I remember. Yeah, the FUs, Gangrene, all those groups.
Just
and later on, stuff like the Drop Dropkick Murphys and everything.
I just played an outdoor gig with FUs.
Yeah.
They just got back together, man. You know, Stocks is still on it.
This is like 40 years ago. This is like 82, 83 they were putting out albums. I started as a DJ in 81, and it was like, yeah.
Well, anyway,
I'll be back in a few minutes.
That's fine.
I'm going to be going to, I got a different panel I got to attend, unfortunately, so I wish I could do this, but on behalf of Joe Bear High, I'm sure Joe will...